Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Senator Dianne Feinstein says she will not resign. This after members of her party and from her own state started to publicly demand last week that Senator Feinstein step down after being away due to health reasons, missing several key votes in the powerful Judiciary Committee. The 89-year-old is the oldest member of the U.S. Senate, and if she completes her term, which ends at the start of 2025, she'll be the longest tenured female senator, as well as the longest serving senator from California. But her health and mental capacity has been the subject of scrutiny and concern over the past few years. Congressman Ro Khanna, who's from the Bay Area himself, wrote last week on Twitter that in part calls for the senator to resign, needing to put the country ahead of personal loyalty, adding that not speaking out undermines their credibility as elected representatives of the people. Now, this and other calls for her to step down have reignited the conversation over ageism, growing older, and when to call it a career. Dr. Julie Bates is with the Agency on Aging, that is a region spanning Nevada, Placer, Sacramento, Sierra, Sutter, Yolo, and Yuba counties. Dr. Bates joins us with some advice on how to navigate these uncomfortable questions. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Thank you. Thank you for making the time. So, Julie, before we get into this topic, can you share with us your area of expertise as it relates to the study of older people?
Well, I have a PhD in gerontology, which is the study of growing older. And I have spent my entire professional career working with older adults and advocating for them and ensuring that we change the conversation about growing old and what that means. Just because one has reached a chronological age doesn't mean that they have, you know, all of the negative stereotypes that we often apply to older adults.
So for the sake of this conversation, can you define ageism for us?
You know, ageism is anytime we look at someone and say, you can't do something because of your age. Now, ageism happens in both directions. It's saying someone can't do something because they're too young, or you can't do something because you are too old. That is ageism.
Given that, I mean, this is obviously surrounding politics, but we're going to stay out of politics for the sake of this conversation. But as someone who is a gerontologist, you study people as they age. You also counsel caregivers who have older people in their own lives. Do you think the questions surrounding Senator Feinstein's cognitive and health issues, especially given her high profile role and level of responsibility, are fair?
You know, having a conversation around someone's abilities is, you know, always, air quotes, fair. But I think it's important for us to look at why we might be having this conversation in regards to Dianne Feinstein, a female senator who has the highest ranking role in the Judiciary Committee. And we're not having this conversation about Senator Grassley, who is the same age. We're not having this conversation about Leader Mitch McConnell, who's 81, or Bernie Sanders, who's 81, or Ben Cardin, or Jim Reich, who are 79, or any of the other male colleagues who are at a similar age, life stage, power structure, and health. I mean, we've seen Senator Grassley and both Mitch McConnell recently go into the hospital for surgeries and are recovering from those things. And nobody's saying you need to step down. You know, so this conversation is multifaceted. It's, yes, it is all about age and our perceptions of when someone is too old to do something. And it's also about sex. And so we have to remember that sexism is also part of this conversation. You know, we've had many instances throughout our history as a country where we've had senators and congressmen who are of extreme age and unique perspectives. And we don't say it's time to sit down. We just say they are eccentric or whatever it is we might play. But because this is a female, we're having a different conversation.
Yeah. So sexism wrapped in with potentially ageism as well. Given that Senator Feinstein says she will not step down, has remained steadfast in her capacity to serve, you know, this also brings up a reality that I think a lot of people have, families or just individuals as they get older. You know, when do you call it a career? When do you give up your career? And even, you know, in some respects, your independence. How do you help people navigate that?
You know, these are really important conversations to have. And, you know, I think the first thing we have to decide is, are these conversations because we have internalized ageism in that we think, okay, you've reached 80 years old, you shouldn't drive, you shouldn't work, you shouldn't. Or is it because, gee, I've had to go rescue my mom from parking lots all over town 5 times in the last month. I think I need to have a conversation about her ability to drive. So there's a whole host of resources available to people to have those conversations. And they are difficult conversations. And one of the things that I like to encourage people to do is have difficult conversations or interesting conversations to get perspectives around the holiday table. So Mother's Day is coming. So now would be a good time to have a conversation with your family, no matter how old everyone is, to talk about quality of life, to talk about, gee, if this happens, if X happens, I want Y to occur. Or in my perfect vision of the world, I would like to be retired about this age and I want to do this in my retirement. And, you know, if you notice something, I want you to talk to me. Yeah. Each person is different, right? And so we need to be prepared to understand that health happens at any age, right? So we need to become comfortable talking with each other when we notice change, when we start going, hey, my mom, my dad, my partner, my child is exhibiting things that are outside of what was normal for them, right? And talk openly. But as a culture, we don't do that. We don't like to have conversations. If, you know, we are firm believers in if we don't talk about dying, we won't die. If we don't talk about aging, we won't age. If we don't talk about illness, we won't get sick.
Yeah, the big things I take away from you is, one, how individual it is. It's very specific to that person. I think about, you know, my 4 grandparents, my 92-year-old abuela was, you know, sharp as a tack, and it was different than perhaps my other grandparents who were technically younger than her. But also, you bring up an important point that there's humility to this as well and some self-awareness. And that can be challenging, right? Because as you also say, we don't really have these conversations either with loved ones or perhaps even sitting alone with ourselves. So how do you break through to a loved one who's maybe being a little stubborn, perhaps a little defiant about their own mental or physical health?
That is such a good question, because I don't know anyone who doesn't get defensive when faced with particularly a younger relative or loved one saying, I think you should stop, right? Our first response is defense. I'm fine. Who are you? You wet behind the ears kid, no matter how old you are. And it's particularly difficult when you're having the conversation between yourself as either the daughter or the granddaughter and your parent or grandparent. The thing that I would say first and foremost is to determine why you're having the conversation first. You know, what is it that is causing you to say, I want to talk about this? And make sure that it is based in as much fact, right? Instead of, what's the word I'm looking for? Stereotypes. And then come from the position of, gee, mom, dad, grandma, aunt, neighbor next door, you know, I've noticed these things and I'm wondering if you'd like to talk about it. And give them the opportunity to reply back to you. But also don't stop at one, because the first conversation might go, I don't want to say awry, but there may be some high emotions, right? You know, you're calling me out on something that I may not want to or may not have even recognized about myself. And so you give that person then an opportunity to think about what you have brought to their attention and then come back to the table again, you know, and say, okay, you know, I've noticed this is happening. Would you like to talk? And there are things that you can do to help make those conversations easier. If we want to be talking about conversations about driving, the Hartford has wonderful resources free of charge to anyone on how to have a conversation about when it's time to put up the, you know, hang up the keys. There are resources through the Area Agency on Aging from the California Department of Aging, from AARP and from others that give you almost a script on how to have these conversations with your loved ones so that you can get to a resolution, that you can get to awareness, and that you can, if nothing else, get to how to even start the conversation so that everyone feels heard and honored and respected.
Yeah, and I would imagine starting that conversation early as well.
Early and often, you know, and I would say have conversations about, you know, planning for your retirement, planning for your eventual passing, because everyone does leave this lifetime. Having conversations about what you want for your life over time, what you want if some horrible illness should come into your life or you have a horrible accident or some of those things that we never, ever, ever, ever want to think about or plan for. But if you have the conversations, your loved ones then can act on your behalf with knowledge and not have that horrible feeling in the back of their mind of, what if I do the wrong thing? What if I make a decision that my loved one didn't want? The only way anyone can know is if that you talk to each other. And if you're planning for yourself, write it down and tell people. If you know you don't want to have XYZ treatment, make sure you have a durable power of attorney for healthcare and tell people about it. Talk to your doctor, talk to your loved one, make sure that you have a copy, make sure that you have an emergency contact set up in your smartphone. Have these things together so that when something happens, because most likely something will happen, people know what you want.
Yeah. A big part of this, too, is the person who loves someone as they're getting older. When it comes to a caretaker, someone who is caring for someone as they are aging, what kind of support should be offered to a caregiver, especially if, you know, they're navigating these really kind of difficult, uncomfortable conversations with someone that they love very much?
Being a caregiver can be hard. It can be one of the most rewarding things in our lives that we do, and it can also be some of the most difficult. In the greater Sacramento area, we have a wonderful resource in the Del Oro Caregiver Resource Center. They provide tremendous support for caregivers, including caregiver support groups, you know, information and tip sheets on how to talk to your loved one's doctor. There's all kinds of great information and support that can be found there in the greater Sacramento area. There's information online, again, on the Area Agency on Aging Area 4 website. There's information at the California Department of Aging and other organizations that spend a lot of time thinking about aging and being a caregiver. And I think one of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves as caregivers is remember that we are not alone. You know, a lot of times people become caregivers and all they know is that they're doing something because they love someone. They are a spouse, they are a child, they are a grandchild or a dear friend, and they're doing it because the person they love needs help. They don't even know that there's a name for it. And the name, of course, is caregiver. There are resources, there are support groups, there's information that can be found. And again, for our area, the Del Oro Caregiver Resource Center is a phenomenal resource, as well as the Agency on Aging Area 4.
Well, that is a wonderful way to end. Julie, thank you so much for the conversation.
It's been my pleasure. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Dr. Julie Bates is the program manager for Sacramento's Agency for Aging, in Region 4. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.